Chapter 6. Get on the train. When we got back to the big fire, I picked up my suitcase from the woman. I opened it to check that everything was still inside it. I opened the tobacco bag and looked at my rocks. I had 5 of them. Something was written on each rock. One of them said, Kentland, Illinois, 5/10/11. Another said, Ligoti, Indiana, 5/16/11. Then there was Sturgis, Michigan, 8/30/12. And Gary, Indiana, 6/13/12. The last rock said Flint, Michigan, 8/11/11. Then I checked the picture of Mama riding the horse. It was fine. Next, I counted the flyers again and looked carefully at the blue flyer. The more I thought about it, the more I knew that the man on the flyer was my father. That was why Mama kept it. I put everything back in my suitcase, then went to sleep. When I woke up, a man was screaming,
Get up! They're trying to leave early! What's happening?
Asked Bugs.
The train is gonna leave early, someone said.
Come on, Bud, said Bugs. We've gotta get on the train.
I picked up my suitcase and ran through the woods with Bugs and everyone else. At the end of the woods, we saw the train. It was a very long train, but no one was trying to get on. I moved to the front of the group. There were 4 cop cars and 8 cops standing between us and the train.
You know that you can't get on this train, said one of the cops. Just go back to where you came from, and there won't be any trouble.
Please, said one man. This is the only train going west for the next month. We need to try to make some money for our families.
More and more men started to arrive from Hooverville. The cops started to look worried. One of the cops said,
There's 400 men out there and more are coming. We aren't getting paid enough to stop them.
He threw his cop hat onto the ground and the train started to slowly move.
Quick, someone shouted. Get on the train!
Everyone started to run. The train was going faster and faster. People were jumping on and reaching back to help others. I ran as hard and as fast as I could. When I finally got to the train, Bugs was already on it.
Bud, he screamed at me, throw me your bag.
I threw my suitcase at him, but I had to stop when I threw it. I started running again, but my legs were too tired. The train was moving faster now. I stopped running. Bugs threw my suitcase back to me. He waved goodbye and disappeared into the night. I picked up my suitcase and sat down on the ground. Maybe it was a good thing that I wasn't able to get on the train. I walked through the woods, and I looked at the blue flyer again and had an idea. Maybe I needed to miss the train. Maybe I missed it because the man on the flyer, Herman E. Calloway, really was my father. I walked back to the library and waited for it to open. When it did, I asked the librarian for the Book of Maps of America again. I opened the book and found the page with Flint and Grand Rapids. You could walk to Grand Rapids in 24 hours. That was one day and one night. I decided to walk through the night first, so I waited at the library until it became dark. Then I started to walk to Grand Rapids to meet my father. I first got the idea that Herman E. Calloway was my father when I was looking at my flyers in my suitcase. Some of the other boys in the home were standing near me. A mean boy, called Billy Burns, was standing in front of them.
"My mama's gonna come and get me soon," said Billy. "I'm not like you boys. None of you even knows who your parents are."
"That's not true," I said. "I know who my mama is. I lived with her for 6 years.
"What about your daddy?" Billy asked me. "How many years did you live with him? You don't even know who your daddy is."
Before I could think, I said, "My daddy plays a giant fiddle, and his name is Herman E. Calloway." And that's how I started to believe that Herman E. Calloway was my daddy. When I got old enough, I started to understand some things. Mama knew that she wasn't going to live for very long. That's why she left me the flyers. She didn't want to say why Herman wasn't with us. The flyers were a message from her about my daddy. I was only a few minutes outside of Flint when everything changed. Firstly, there were the sounds. Flint was usually quite noisy because of all the cars and people. Out in the country, there were sounds too, but they were different. I could hear the sounds of bugs and animals running around and fighting. I walked and walked and walked. When a car came by, I jumped into the woods by the side of the road and waited for it to pass me. I didn't want anyone to see me and take me back to the home. I jumped into the woods a few times until one car didn't pass me. The driver slowed down, and I could see him through the car window. He was turning his head round. He moved the car back and stopped it about 30 steps away from me. I was still sitting in the trees. His door opened, and he started walking slowly toward me. When he got close enough, he said,
"Hey, what's a young brown-skinned boy doing walking along the road outside of Owosso, Michigan at 2:30 in the morning?"
I didn't move or say anything.
"I'll tell you something," said the man. "No brown-skinned boy should be walking outside of Owosso at 2:30 in the morning. Neither of us should be here."
He sat down and looked into the trees.
"This isn't time for games."
I still didn't move.
"Fine. I know what to do," said the man. "I'm sure that you're hungry. I've got a sandwich in my car. Do you want it?"
How did he know that I was so hungry? Before I could think, I said, "Just leave the sandwich on the side of the road, and I'll get it."
"Oh, no," said the man. "I can't do that. If I feed you, you need to show me your face."
The man seemed okay, so I came out from the woods. I went to take the sandwich from him, but he said,
"Wait, I've got a problem, and I need your help." "Oh, no."
What he said is another one of my rules. Rules and Things, number 87. If an adult tells you that they need your help with a problem, get ready for a trick. "My problem is," said the man, that I'm not as brave as you. I'm feeling uncomfortable standing on the side of the road here at 2:30 in the morning. I need you to tell me what you're doing here so we can both leave, okay? I nodded.
Nothing, sir.
What's your name, son?
Bud, not Buddy, sir.
Did you run away from home, Bud, not Buddy?
I knew that I needed to think quickly. I didn't want him to take me back to the home or the Amoses. Then I thought of a great lie.
I ran away from Grand Rapids, sir.